For those of you who are newer to Cedar Point, my name is Mike Capel. I've got the honor and privilege of being on staff here, as well as my wife on staff full-time for almost 10 years. Our first official start date was August 31st of 2013, and we wrapped up our season here at the end of 2022. And from that point, we'd made the move. We actually now are living in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, and we started work immediately on getting a church planted and started and off the ground. And so we literally spent from January all the way to September meeting people at coffee shops, grabbing coffee with people. I'm coffeeed out, y'all, and just meeting people. And through that, we were able to build a launch team, people to help us start our church of 60 adults, and they helped us serve in different ministries throughout our church experience. And through that, when we launched our church September 17th, we had over 300 people in total attendance there for our very first one. Now, yeah, you can give it up. Now, as Coach said, you know, we're ministering. We've got over 200 people that call Vital Church home, and we're ministering to them. And it has just been an incredible journey for us. So when we were looking to actually start Vital Church, we were beginning to look at locations. We had it on our heart to start in a mobile situation, meaning where we set up and tear down just so that way the resources that God's entrusted to us, we're able to put those into our ministries and not into a building or an AC at that point in the season of our life. And so we began to look at locations, and the number one location that we wanted to be in actually was Siloam Springs High School. They have an amazing theater there, as well as just a perfect layout for a church building to be in there. But at that time, we actually were not able to get Siloam Springs High School. That was not an option for us. And lo and behold, God did things that only he can do, and he moved. And within a week, we had actually had a signed contract with the high school to be able to use that facility every single Sunday indefinitely, as long as we want it there, to be able to minister to people every single week. And so I want to grab some pictures here. I want to show you kind of what it looks like when we go into Siloam Springs High School. We show up every single Sunday, and we have a team of people that help us. We set everything up. We transform the entire high school. So this is our main lobby area, next steps, coffee, all of that. This is one of our kids' space. This is our nursery. So we have the flooring, play panels, all the toys. We have carts that just unload every single week. This is another one of our kids' classrooms, unrolling the carpet, the pipe and drape, TV, everything. And then we have one more of our elementary there, and this is in their cafeteria. And I just want you all to know, because of your prayers and your heart and investing in the next generation, that's something that we've carried with us. And earlier this last week, I had a meeting with the superintendent of the entire Siloam Springs School District to ask them about inquiring to get more space so we can add more kids' classrooms, because our children's ministry is growing like crazy. And that's a testament. As I said the other day, we launched the team with 60 adults, and the other day we did something that we call the family service, where we had everybody together in our service. We put together 60 little bags for our kids to give them during the service, and we ran out, y'all. And so it's crazy that in less than a year, the team of adults that we had, we now have more kids coming than just that team of adults, and it's absolutely amazing. And we've also had some other incredible things take place. All of that setup and tear down, it takes a crew of people, an army, to do that every single week. 2 months ago, we had a recovery center, a men's program, recovery program, and now we are in a partnership with them where every single Sunday, they send a group of men over to Vital Church. These men do all of the setting up for us. The after church, they do all the tearing down, but that most importantly, they get to be a part of Vital Church church services. And we have had men that have now given their lives to God, and actually at our last baptism, we had a man from that recovery center say, "Hey, I want to go public in my faith with Jesus, and I want to get baptized." And he's getting baptized. He's been baptized. And it's just been absolutely incredible the way that God has moved. To give you an idea, just this year alone, from January till now, we at Vital Church, a church that's less than 1 year old, has seen 32 people go public through baptism in their faith and say, "Hey, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to live for him." And on top of that, the school heard that we were baptizing people, and the school said, "Hey, let us change out a fixture and a plumbing in one of our areas so that way you can fill the baptism tank with hot water and set it up in the lobby of the high school there." And that's just incredible to think that at one point in time, Siloam Springs High School was not even an option, But only God could do this, and he has worked it out to where now we have services there with a contract that cannot be broken. We have people there on staff at that school that are shifting fixtures around so because they want to see people give their lives to Christ and get baptized there. On top of all that, the school originally said we could not use any of their equipment, we could not install anything like that. Fast forward to today, we have stuff that is permanently installed in Siloam Springs High School Theater, lighting equipment, sound equipment. And so I have a picture here to give you an idea of what our theater experience, our main auditorium looks like. Haley's there helping us out. She's doing an absolutely incredible, incredible job. But it's just amazing. To fast forward to that last Sunday, our attendance at the start of the summer, we're actually in a growing season right now. Last Sunday, we not only had to make additional space, not once, but twice last Sunday alone because of the people that are hearing about it and coming and God just doing things that only he can do. And that is such a picture. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of Katie's heart and Cade's heart, thank you all so much. Because your giving has been a part of making our dream a reality. Your giving is making an impact, not just in Claremore, but in Siloam Springs, and obviously Pastor Rickson, Garden City, Kansas, but other places as well. And I dream about the day in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, in 15 years from now, where I get to sit back and be like Pastor Rick and sit here and say that, hey, I know people that are out starting churches, that are allowing God to work through them to make a difference in this world. And the reason that they're doing it is one is because God's called them, but secondly, because they had a pastor that believed in them like Pastor Rick, and I just cannot wait for that day to take place. And so I just want to give it up for you guys and to say to Pastor Rick, I know you're not here, but if you're watching online, thank you so much. We love you. We would not be doing what we're doing today if it wasn't for you guys and Cedar Point Church. And so just give it up for yourselves. You guys are amazing. I mean, I could sit here and go through story after story after story, but I want to share one with you. And we have a picture of a guy who just got baptized. That's Mark Julio there. And what's amazing about Mark is, one, he actually shared a conversation that he remembers where he was on his back porch talking to his wife and talking to his mother, and he remembers looking at them and telling them, like, God is not real. I do not believe in God, and there's no way that you'll ever get me to set foot inside a church and live my life for him and serve. But only God can show up and do something in somebody's life. And God kept chasing after him, even though he was running from God in that season. As a matter of fact, he started visiting other churches, him and his wife. And what's amazing is they actually were getting ready to quit trying out different churches just because of different experiences that they had had. And they came to Vital Church, and they were like, this is it. This is home for us. And I will never forget the first day that it was their Sunday there, because as they were leaving, Mark was carrying his daughter out as she was in tears, crying, saying, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. Please let me down. Let me go back. Because she had such an encounter with God in one of our children's ministries that her story was changed, and she was like, I want to stay here. And that's what she wanted. And now every single Monday, she wakes up and says, hey, are we going to church today? Every Tuesday, she wakes up, hey, are we going to church today? And they have to tell her every single day, hey, nope, church is in a few more days. And they count down. And now his whole life has been changed and transformed by the power of God. And the whole family has been transformed. And as you guys know, this is who God is, right? He is, in fact, the story changer. And this is what he is all about doing, is changing people's stories. And he's doing that every single Sunday, not just here, but at Vital Church in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. And so I want to take a moment, because right now we have our services kicking off there at the same time, 10:30. And my wife is actually sharing the message today at Vital. And so what's cool about that is her and I now are ministering at the same time in two different places and allowing God to work through us. And so can we just pray for Vital Church as well as for me in this moment to guess God just to continue to be a part of everything that's taking place. And so, Father, we just come to you right now. We thank you that you are, in fact, the story changer. And so, God, just in this moment, not just here, but in Siloam Springs and in throughout your church, I pray, God, that you would just show up and reveal yourself. that people would have an encounter with the real living God. Not a made up God, not a God, but just a true living God that has a desire to know each and every single one of us. So God, just during our time together, speak right now. God, help us to have an encounter that where we leave here transformed and different because of the power of God on our life. And so God, we just thank you for it. Speak through us, me and Katie and just everybody in this moment. God, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, you guys have Growth Track on Sundays, and we do something similar. We call it Discovery. But because we are a portable church, we got to get a little bit creative in where we host our Discovery class at. And so my wife and I decided, you know what? We can open up our home, and we're going to invite people in. We're going to feed them dinner. It's going to be an amazing experience. The challenge with that is that our Sundays get kind of long. And what I mean by that, just to give you an idea, I wake up at 4:30 on Sundays, and I actually pull the trailer and that has all of our equipment and stuff in it in our portable setting up to the high school. I get there at 6 a.m. and get all the doors unlocked, and then we start having our worship and production team show up, and then everybody shows up at 8 a.m. We do our service, and then we have to tear everything down. Then I got to take the trailer back to where it goes, and then I got to go home, finish unloading some things, and then we got to start prepping for what we call our Growth Track Discovery class. And so one day, I was like, you know what, I'm going to help my wife in this moment, because I could tell she was a little stressed trying to get the house cleaned and prepared for Discovery, and she'd made a comment that like, oh man, we got to bake the cookies, you know, and so one of the things that we do is we bake chocolate chip cookies for every person that comes to Discovery, y'all. How many know chocolate chip cookies are the way to Jesus' heart right there, right? And so now you have to understand, I hear this, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to help meet my wife's need. I'm going to help her out with the cookies. You also have to understand one thing about me. I don't cook. I don't bake. I struggle with the microwave, y'all. Like, it's bad, okay? And so, but I hear this, and I'm smart enough to follow directions, so I pull out the package, because that's the only way that we do chocolate chip cookies, is you get the little squares that you break them off. And I look on the back, and it says 350, so I set the oven to 350. We're good. Step two, break it into squares and put them 2 inches apart on the cookie sheet, right? I can do this. I put one on the cookie sheet. I put one in my mouth. I put one on the cookie sheet. You know, that's how you do it. I get everything laid out on the cookie sheet, and I come to this realization that we do not have enough room on our cookie sheet for all the cookies that you're supposed to break apart. So here's my dilemma. I either shove them all in my mouth, put them in the fridge, which is not going to be good for anybody at that moment, or I make a second batch of cookies, right? So I pop them into the oven. My wife comes around the corner, she's like, oh, we got to make the cookies. I'm like, babe, I got you, girl. Like, come on. I'm going to take care of you, you know? So I got the cookies all in there. She's shocked. She's like, because you don't cook. Like, I'm a little nervous. I'm like, no, I got this all set up. Here's what's going on. So the first batch finishes. Y'all, Gordon Ramsay would have been in my kitchen, y'all. It was amazing. Like, he loved it. I mean, it was crazy. They were so golden crispy. You know, they weren't too hard. They weren't too soft. It was like perfect chocolate chip cookies, okay? Now, my wife was busy getting ready for our Discovery class. So she didn't know that there was still cookies left to be cooked. So I put the remaining cookies out on the cookie sheet, put it back into the oven. A little while later, we start having guests arrive to our Discovery class at our home. In this moment, before that though, my wife and I had a conversation because she didn't know that, and come to find out that she'd actually turned the oven off, not knowing that these cookies were in there. So again, I don't bake, but here's the logic that went through my brain right now, okay? I'm like, okay, these cookies got cooked for like 7 minutes, potentially, give or take, at 350, but then they got turned off, so they haven't been cooking for a period of time. So the way to make up this time is let's just crank up the heat on the oven to like 475, and we're going to just flash bake these things. I don't understand why y'all are laughing at me right now. Okay? So guests start arriving for a Discovery class, and we're, hey, how you doing, all this kind of stuff. And a little while after this, all of a sudden, I begin to smell the smell of something burning, right? And then I'm like, oh no, not our cookies, right? And I go, and she's like, what are you doing? And people there are laughing at me because they're like, you clearly don't bake, like all these different kinds of things. And so it was a great, great learning experience for me. And not only did my wife and I have this moment, not only did I have this moment of shame and embarrassment in front of all of our friends and new friends and everything like that, but y'all, I ruined my wife's cookie sheet. Scrubbed, cleaned, it ain't coming off. Permanent markings, favorite cookie sheet too. She's like, I really love that one. It was so pretty and nice. And now look what you did to it when you got a hold of it, you know? And I say all that to say maybe this is a picture of your life right now. And maybe you want to be this vessel that God uses to bring blessings to other people, to bring good into the world, to bring light into the world. But maybe you had some people that didn't tend to you in the manner in which they should have. They didn't know how to meet your needs. They didn't know how to minister to you in a season. Or maybe you yourself found yourself in a season where you did some things and you said some things and you acted out in such a way where now you have a permanent mark on you that you're ashamed of, that you're guilty of, that you feel just this incredible amount of shame and guilt, and it seems no matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, every time you look in the mirror, you still see this painful mark of a failure, of a moment where you weren't tended to by another person or yourself, and it seems like everywhere you go, you see this, and now you're faced every single day with this situation. I'm like, God, I want to be a vessel that's used by you to bring good into the world. I want to be this vessel, but God, can you use me when I'm not all shiny and pretty and clean and in a place that doesn't look like I can be used because I'm not like all the other cookie sheets that are sitting on the aisle at Walmart that look all nice and fancy, and they're not like me. I've got some issues. I've got some struggles in my life. I've got some addictions. I've got some marriage problems. I've got some things that as a parent, as a kid, I've got some things from my past, with my relationship with my dad or my son. I've got all these issues, and so God, can you really use me when I don't look like the nice, clean, pristine cookie sheet? And maybe that's why you're here this morning, is you're struggling with that and you find yourself and you're like, God, I want to be used. I want to have this purpose, but you're running from this issue to this issue to this thing to try to figure out what exactly your purpose in life is, if God can still use you, and you're just frustrated because every single night you lay your head down on your pillow dreading waking up tomorrow because you're like, God, I'm sick of just going through the motions. I want to do something that is significant. I want to do something that makes a difference in people's lives. And I'm here to tell you this, that the only thing that I have truly discovered in my life that can actually give you this purpose that causes you to have joy every single day, this thing that gives you purpose that causes you to wake up with a motivation, with not being sad and depressed and looking at the world, is this vision and passion from God for you to go out into this world and make a difference. And this is what God has called us to do, not just in Siloam Springs and me, but all of you here at Cedar Point Church, in your jobs, in your families. He wants to use you to make a difference, even when you're not all shiny and pretty, even when you find yourself carrying around some shame and some guilt. But the best way to do this is to fulfill the purpose that God has for each one of you. And the only way to find out and start figuring out the purpose that God has for you is first for you to give your life to Him. That's it. You can't live apart from Him and fulfill His purpose. You've got to instead say, God, I'm going to surrender my life and my ways, and I'm going to hold on to you and hang on to you and fulfill the purpose and plan that you have for me, because you are the one that saw me before I was ever born. You were the one that created me in my mom's womb, and you foresaw me at this moment in this time, and there's good things that you planned for me long ago that I'm here to go out into this world and accomplish today. You've called me to make this difference. Jesus himself said it this way in John chapter 15. He said, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. This is the life that God wants. He wants you to produce fruit. He wants the person next to you to produce fruit. As a matter of fact, just elbow the person next to you and say, hey, you're called by God to produce some fruit. This is the life. And as you produce fruit in your life and make this difference in other people, you find yourself living fulfilled, full of joy, full of happiness. You find yourself living this blessed life where you're like, man, you know what? I may not drive the nicest car. I may not have the best house, but I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? I'm blessed because the Lord is with me and he's using me. And what we have to understand, though, is that apart from him, we can't do this. If you read the last sentence there in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus himself said that for apart from me, you can do nothing. And so what I've learned and what I've experienced just in my own life and what I've seen in middle schoolers, what I've seen in high schoolers, what I've seen with adults, is that we tend to run from God and try to fulfill our needs and our life and our purpose and all these other things, and we just run from him constantly. But because God loves us and he loves us so much, he actually chases after us in those moments and he'll meet you right where you're at. This is the story of my life. I did not walk with the Lord until I was 20 years old. And I didn't find the Lord in a church. I found the Lord on my bathroom floor on a Sunday morning where I called out to him. And part of my story was I didn't think that God, one, was real. Secondly, I didn't think that he could love me because I had a whole bunch of junk and stains and shame and guilt and things that I carried around with me. And when I looked at myself, I didn't see myself as valuable. I saw myself as worthless. But on top of all of that, I didn't think God would even use me because there's no way he could use a messed up, broken vessel like me. And in one moment with the Lord, I began to realize, one, the Lord was real. Secondly, that he loved me. And thirdly, that he wants to use me to make a difference in this world. And this is what he wants for every single one of you. But it comes from surrendering your life and saying, God, I'm willing to repent of all of my sins. And I'm actually going to quit chasing and running away from you. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to pursue you with everything that I have. See, true repentance is not just, Lord, I'm sorry. It's actually replacing it. And you're replacing your sin with the very presence of God in that moment. And so many people are trying to use willpower to change their lives. You don't need willpower. No, you need the power of God in your life. That's what people need, and it comes from you turning, repenting, and then confessing, saying, God, I need you. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says it this way, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. As you conceal it, you don't prosper. But then it goes on to say, but if you confess and turn from them, then you'll receive mercy. It's in that, I'm turning from them, God, I'm confessing. It's in that moment that God says, okay, come with me. Now I can begin to deal with your issues. And yeah, you might have a permanent mark, but you can still be used as a vessel to deliver the goods of chocolate chip cookies to some people. You can still be used to bring goodness to this world. You can still be used as a vessel to bring about my plan and my purpose in this world, even in this dark time period. And there might be some of you that your healing comes about differently. Some of you, you might have some miraculous thing take place. Others of you, as you confess, it might be something like step-by-step process where God's like, hey, come here. This is your first step. Hey, no, come over here. Here's your next step in this journey. But because God loves you, he's going to be with you in the middle of all of those steps, and he'll keep revealing the next one to you. And as you're obedient to him in that moment, you can receive that healing. Others of you, you might be on the right path already and just need some encouragement, and God will speak to you. He'll give a scripture to you that says, hey, don't give up. That, hey, this is what you're believing for in regards to your kid that's no longer living with the Lord right now. No, don't give up on that. Stand on this word. Stand on this promise. There might be some of you where God comes alongside you and he gives a person to you and he puts you in a small group or a life group where you can get to know some people and then begin to open up and share, and the people will support you in that. That's what he might do for you. That might be how he heals you. But I'll tell you this, and you should write this down in your notes, but the moment that you reveal your issues is the moment God is invited to heal your issues. The moment you say, God, I got this, he says, all right, come on, let's do this. And then here's the other thing that he does. As you turn and you pursue him and chase after him, as you continue to surrender your life, moment by moment, day by day, hour after hour, something takes place in your life and you begin to be transformed, and then you're able to, number two, become like Jesus. You're able to become like Jesus. Now, I want to warn you, becoming like Jesus is an every single day journey and process. You don't believe me? Just wake up in the middle of the night to the sound of your dog or your son going, "Huh!" You start to question everything in that moment. You're like, "God, are you real right now?" Like, there's nothing worse than waking up to that, especially a whole trail of it from the bed all the way to the toilet. You real quick, you find out, you know what? I need more Jesus. There's plenty of times throughout our lives where you're just like, "I need more Jesus." Today I was on my way over here driving, and I was like, you know what? I'm running a little behind. I'm just going to bump up the speed a little bit. Saw a police officer, slowed down, got right with Jesus real fast. It's like Pastor Rick is like rubbing off on me or something, becoming him. But just as you go throughout your day-to-day life, you're going to be hit with things, and you're going to realize real quick that, wait a second, there's this tension on the inside. And this tension is this born-again creation, this spirit on the inside of you that wants you to pursue and be used by God, while all the time you still have this sinful nature on you that's like, no, you should be selfish. Your spirit man's like, no, you need to forgive quickly and you need to love. And your flesh man's like, nope, hold on to it, hold a grudge, let them get even. Like, matter of fact, you should say stuff back. Oh, yeah. And there's this constant tug of war, this constant battle that happens. Matter of fact, Galatians 5:17 puts it this way. It says, "The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires." These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intention. Again, there's this constant battle. And here's what I've learned, that it's in those moments where the battle is raging, where you literally have to hold on to God and say, "God, I'm not going to let go of you no matter what." And it's when you make that choice, when your flesh is wanting to do something else, that you continue to hold on to God in that moment, that you really begin to get transformed and become who God wants you to truly be, and you become like him. It's in that moment of, "God, I'm surrendering. I'm not going to do what that is. I'm going to hold on to you." And here's what I've learned. You should write this down in your notes, is that you can either run from God or you can hold on to God, but you can't do both. You can't hold and run. I've tried. I've got a son of mine. He's 8 years old. And I don't know about you, but you really want to question your belief system in the middle of Walmart when they want something and throwing a fit, and there's people around judging you, walking with their push carts. Like, "If that was my kid, I wouldn't do that." And you're like, "Well, good for you, okay? My kid, different." And your flesh wants to go off on your son. Your flesh wants to go off on the person looking at you, giving you like the old crazy eyes. But then in that moment, the Spirit of God comes up on the inside of you and is like, "Don't say anything. Matter of fact, just ignore them." And you're like, "No, God, I don't want to do this." And this is where we constantly have to run back to God. Ephesians 5 puts it this way. It says, "Don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit." And I don't know what your experience is with drinking or anything like that, but I just know this and my limited experience of it, that in order for somebody to get drunk, they first have to take part in something. And in order to stay drunk, they've got to continue to take part in something. And if they don't, they are find a place where they're no longer drunk, in order for them to continue to get drunk, and they got to partake in something. And this is the relationship that we're supposed to have with God, this constant, "God, I need you right now to fill me with your Spirit. God, I'm running back to you. I'm holding on to you. Fill me with your Spirit. God, I need your help. Hold on to me. God, fill me with your Spirit so that I can live out this life that you want to." But the way that you do that is holding on to him and admitting those issues that you have. My son, he's 8 years old. And I will never forget that, you know, all the different phases that he's gone through. When he was younger, we would play peekaboo. It was like hide and seek, you know, and he's like, hey, peekaboo, here I am, you know, and he'd laugh and giggle and everything. But as he got a little bit older, our games of hide and seek got a little bit more elaborate, okay? Now, one thing in the Capel household is I'm super competitive and hate to lose. My wife, super competitive, hates to lose. Our son got a double dose of super competitiveness and hates to lose. So one day we're playing hide and seek. Our games are getting more elaborate. He still thinks that if I don't see him, that, or if he can't see me, that I can't see him, even though we all know that that's not true. And so one day he decides to hide under like an end table or something, and he takes a blanket, he throws the blanket over the end table, and then he hears me coming down the hall, ready or not, here I come. And so he dives under the table in this moment. And I can hear him as I'm walking down the hall, and he's kind of like upset, he's crying, he's kind of, you know, and you can hear him doing one of these things. And I know exactly where he's at in this moment, and I know that something is not right with him. And I remember throwing the blanket off, hey, I found you. And he's got tears in his eyes because he hates to lose. He didn't want me to find him. I'm like, what's wrong, buddy? And he turns around and he says, hey, I have this issue where I scratched my back as we were playing hide and seek. And it was in that moment when he revealed the issues where he didn't run from me, but instead he chose to hold on to me in that moment as his father that loves him, that wants to be that blessing to him. It was in that moment that then I was able to meet him where his needs are and begin to minister to him and help him get doctored up in that moment. And then through that, we were able to go back on and continue to play hide and seek, as opposed to just know I have this wound and I can't play anymore. Which is how so many of us do our life. We get wounded, we get hurt, we get the mark, we get the issue, and we try to do it in our own strength, in our own power, instead of saying, God, I need your help. And we hold it to ourselves. I got this, God. I could do this. I could deal with this. I can. No, God. No, I'm not going to do that. No. No, I. God, you see this wound. Like, I'm going to deal with it myself. No. Just confess. Just admit. Just run to him. And as you do that, then God says, hey, you can become like me. And the last part, when you become like him and hold on to him, then you can go out into this world and do what Jesus did, which is what we're all called to do, is to do what Jesus did. John chapter 14, verse 12, put it this way. He said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works because I am going to the Father. Jesus, again, is telling them, hey, look, here's the deal. Not only are you to bear much fruit, but here's the other part of this. Because I'm going to the Father, I'm doing that so that you can actually bear fruit in this world and you can do the same works that I did and even greater works than what I did. And so I like to say it like this, and what Jesus taught is he said, hey, look, I've got to go to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit to come and be a part of your lives. And what I like to say is that what Jesus was to the 12 disciples is what the Holy Spirit is to all of us today. And it's that force that empowers us, that speaks to us, that gives us the encouragement and strength that we need so that we can go out into this world and be this vessel that changes people's lives, that makes that difference, that allows God to work through us to change people's stories. But that brings us all back to this moment, like, well, Pastor Mike, that sounds great, but I'm not clean. I'm not shiny. I got this permanent mark. I've had some people not treat me right. I haven't treated myself right. I got these weird spots. I got this mark of the time that I failed. So God, can God really use me in that situation? And the answer is absolutely, God can use you. It's not just that. I believe that he loves seeing spots like this because it's going to allow your change story to then go out and change other people's story. This is why I love reading scripture so much, because in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, you read and there is person after person after person that literally has had encounters with God. And because of that, even though they still have the marks, even though they still carry around all the hurt, the pain, even in the middle of all that, God uses them to go out in this world and make a difference. Hebrews chapter 11 is full of people that way. And there's one particular guy by the name of Jacob, and it says this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21, that it was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. So we have Jacob here leaning on a staff to support him, and yet he's now giving a blessing out to other people. But that's not at all how Jacob's life started. As a matter of fact, you can go read it in Genesis, but in Genesis you'll find that Jacob actually was a deceiver and that he would actually steal blessings. He was a stealer. He would go out and he'd steal his brother's blessing. He'd steal all of these blessings, and yet that was how he started his life. And then what would happen is after he stole something, he would get in a little bit of panic, and so then he would start running from one thing to the next. And maybe that's what you've been doing. Maybe you've been living your life one way and you're running from one issue to the next issue to the next issue to the next issue, just like Jacob. And here's the thing. Scripture tells us that there's a moment in Jacob's life where he finds himself face to face with the Lord. And that it was in that moment that Jacob said, God, I'm laying it all down. I'm going to hold on to you with everything that I've got, and I'm not ever going to let go of. And what Scripture tells us is that as he did that, that the Lord then blessed him. This passage of Scripture also tells us that in this tussle, that something happened to Jacob's hip and he had to walk with a limp after that. So fast forward, Jacob starts his life stealing blessings, no limp, running from issue to issue to issue, to where he finds himself face to face with the Lord. Has an encounter with him where he says, I'm not letting go of you no matter what, to later in life where he went from stealing blessings to being that person that's known in Scripture as somebody who gave blessings, all while he was standing and leaning on his staff to support him with his hip problem. And maybe that's you today. You've got the mark. You've ran from God. And God's now face to face with you, and he's saying, hey, look, here's the deal. I know you once were this way, but I want to transform you into something great. I want you to go from taking blessings to being somebody that actually delivers blessings. And I want to use you with the marks that you have, with the wounds that you have, and use your story to transform and change other people's stories. And I don't need you to get all clean and shiny. I just need you to surrender your life to me. And as you do that, and as you hold on to me, I'll pour out blessings on you so that you can then go out and bless other people. And this is what I've seen take place in my own life just over the last few months. When we chose to leave, this was probably the hardest decision that we ever had to make. As a matter of fact, I remember telling God, like, God, you're going to have to talk to Pastor Rick about this. Because I ain't bringing it up. We didn't know what was going to happen. I'll never forget, we did our first startup party. We were promoting all over social media, rented a space out, inviting people to come and hear about the church, and just being in the bathroom sick to my stomach, thinking, God, dear God, is anybody going to show up? Remember the first service that we had, and it was just like, dear God, like, I know I have family and friends from Claremore coming, but is anybody in Siloam going to show up? I remember the next few Sundays when it was like, God, all the Claremore people are going back home. Is anybody going to show up? But I can just tell you this. I wake up every single day blessed. I live a fulfilled life. I have more joy than I've ever had before. And it's because I'm allowing God to work through me with all of my issues. Say, God, I just want to deliver some cookies to some people. God, I just want to be good to people. I want to be your vessel that's used to bring blessings to people. And yeah, God, I got some issues. But if you'll have me, if you'll use me, and you'll use me in all of my brokenness, I'll surrender and I'll do it. And I just want you to leave here knowing this one last thing, is that you can make a difference even if you've been broken. You can make a difference even if you've been broken. So don't allow that brokenness to stop you from being that vessel to deliver some cookies to the world. I want to pray for you real quick, so if you would bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I thank you for each person that's here. God, I know in this moment that there's people in different seasons of life, different stages of life. There's people that are here that need you. And so, God, I pray in this moment that you just reveal yourself to them, that we'd all come face to face to you in this moment. And God, if there are people that need to surrender their life, maybe they need to quit running and they need to make that decision to turn and pursue you with everything, that just in this moment, that you would welcome them with open arms. I pray that if there are people that maybe have been hiding under a table with the sheet over it, thinking that you don't know where they're at, that are hurting right now, that in this moment, that they would come out from hiding and just confess their issues so that you can begin to heal those places in their life. God, I pray for each one of us that we would just have a hunger to become like you, to share your word with this world that is hurting, that's broken, to be a vessel that's used by you, that goes out and makes a difference, that doesn't have to be perfect, but just simply has to be surrendered to you. So God, help us just to surrender. Help us to hold on to you. God, use us in our brokenness. Father, I just thank you for that. God, I thank you that we don't ever and will never be good enough. But luckily, it has nothing to do with us. It's all about you and what you think. And you saw us as valuable. You loved us so much that you were willing to send your one and only son so that we could have a relationship with you. So that you could use us to be salt, to be light, to be story changers, to be people that make a difference. And yes, God, we have issues. We have wounds. We have some that are permanent. We've got scars. We've got some shame. We've got some guilt. But God, in this moment, I pray that you just deal with each one of our hearts and help us to not allow those things to keep us from pursuing the plan that you have for us. Those of you that maybe are here, maybe you carry a wound with you, I just want you to know that the presence of a wound is not a call for you to withdraw from the call that God has on your life. Just because you've been hurt does not mean, does not give you the right to not live the life that God wants for you. It's not permission from God for you to stand on the sidelines. So God, in this moment, people that are wounded, I pray that this moment would mark a turning point in their life, that they choose to let go of that wound and actually hold on to the one that can heal that place. They choose to let go of that individual and entrust them into your hands. They choose to, instead of quit focusing on that person and what they're doing, but instead focus on you and the things that you have. God, we just as a people right now say, use us. We're your vessels. Use us right now. Thank you for it. Those of you that are maybe here, maybe you heard me talking about surrendering and giving your life to Him. And maybe you're that person that I've mentioned that maybe is just running from God. And you find yourself where just your heart's about to beat out of its chest right now, and you feel just the love of God tugging on your heart. Or maybe you're here and you've prayed that prayer, but you'd say, you know what, Pastor Micah, I'm just running away from Him. I need to come back to Him. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Micah, I just want to make sure me and God are good. If that's you for either one of those three things, can I get you just to slip your hand up so I know to pray for it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Those of you that have your hands up, you can put them down now. Those of you that raised your hands, I'm going to lead you in a very simple and easy prayer. But as we're doing this, I want you to mean this prayer from everything within your heart. But because this is a safe place, I'm going to ask that everybody repeat this after me as well. So if everyone say this with me, say, Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I call upon you now. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And to come and live on the inside of me. Fill me with your presence and help me deal with the issues on the inside of me and use me to make a difference for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Come on. Well, hey. That's so amazing. One of the things that I love about Cedar Point is we have a heart for discipleship. And so I want to invite Coach up here right now. He's going to share with you some next steps.
Let's give another hand for Pastor Mike. What a great job.